when you're attracted to someone, and hormones, then there's hormones. And I hope this isn't one of those questions where I already know the answer. How does the mind must have to tell the body, the mind, it must be back to the ego, that the ego makes the decision to be attracted to that person.
Right. Yeah. I'm so glad it was the right answer. You would have, I would have been afraid of what would have happened. I wouldn't want to take responsibility. That was a lot of pressure there. I was feeling a lot of pressure. Ah, that's so funny. Okay. Yeah, yeah. See, the reason that, can I tell you something you might not like to hear? Because that's kind of the requirement in order to, yeah, that's kind of like the requirement in order to hear the real truth for yourself sometimes. It has to be like something totally different from what you normally would tell yourself, right? That's why it would have, that's why it's the truth. So, see, if it's love, it wouldn't single nobody out in the first place, because love wouldn't see any differences between us. Love wouldn't try to judge who deserves love and who doesn't. Got that?
Yeah.
Love loves everything. That's what makes it love. We like counting on the fact that God loves everybody. You know what I'm saying? You hope, you don't want to be left outside the circle, right? So that's what kind of makes me feel good. Like if something could happen to you, if the universe could give something cool to you, well, the universe could give something cool to me. The Creator gives something cool to you, because the Creator loves all of us equally. We all kind of like that idea, right? But of course, the miracle says that is the way love actually is. That's not just the God love or universal love is really the only kind of love. So the minute you single somebody out, it's obviously the part of you that's looking for specialness and not the part of you that's looking for love.
It's hard to have sex with everyone.
Well, it's actually physically impossible. So you know, I tried. I tried about 10 short. I think it's the number in this room. But no. See, I went off there. I totally went off there. I forgot. I acted like a regular person instead of like the teacher, which is what I'm going to do all the time, because that's what I am, just a regular person. So anyway, the reason why you're attracted to somebody anyway is because they remind you of the past. That somehow or another they're going to make up for what somebody in the past didn't give you. They're going to give you the love that you've never received before through anybody else, and that's why you choose them. Yeah. It's not really bad. It's just that it doesn't give you any kind of long-lasting, permanent, consistent love. It just gives you love as long as you're acting out that person's script, or you haven't done something that they didn't want you to do, so they take it back from you. So the special love and how long it lasts depends on how willing you are to keep the agreements that you make in the relationship, right? See, if you make an agreement in a relationship that we're not going to go to bed with anybody but each other, as part of our special relationship agreement, well, if we both keep that agreement, we'll stay in our relationship. But you see how that works. So as long as you keep the agreements that you make for yourself and the agreements that you make with the other person, you stay in the relationship with each other. It's only when the agreements are broken that the problem starts, right? All right. So I don't really want a love that's based on all those different agreements, me personally. I'd rather have a love that's unconditional, not on whether or not I keep an agreement to the day I die. I read in a paper just yesterday where a guy, he was 79 and his wife was 72 or something. And she was sleeping in the bed and he started hacking her with an axe. Now, immediately I thought that he had anger issues. I bet you when they got married, they didn't know it was going to end up with him hacking up with an axe. What happened? What took it from all that bliss that you have at the beginning where you're promising each other you're going to love each other forever to getting to the point that you're hacking each other with an axe? Think about the extreme of that. I mean, I'm sure that when that relationship started, neither one of them had the slightest idea that it would end up getting that angry, right? Somebody was upset about the agreements. I bet you anything, somebody was upset about the agreements that they had made, or what they had promised each other, or what they had said to each other. You know what I'm saying? The more more of those conditions that you set up, the more things you might end up having to forgive. And that's why people have so much to forgive. They got so many different scripts on everybody they see. They got a different one for everybody they see.
Yeah.
That's deep. And you got to keep up with all of them, too, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you talking about codependent type agreements or enslaving type agreements versus, you know, we're going to have a date at 8 o'clock and we both agree it's going to be at 8 o'clock and you should call if we need to change that? I mean, those kind of agreements, don't they build trust in a relationship?
At whatever level you make the agreement, you keep the agreement. Like, if you make the agreement that we're going to meet at 8 o'clock, if you want to have peace in that relationship easily, then you meet each other at 8 o'clock. Because what's so cool about the truth is that it applies to any level you can think of. It applies to every level. That's what I like about it. The Course in Miracles, for instance, is always talking about states of consciousness. It's talking about perceptions. This is a book about talking about how you see things, because it's saying that you are experiencing the result of how you see things. Your life is the result of how you see things. So it's trying to help us change from a way of seeing things that make us afraid to a way of seeing things that keeps us in love and keeps us in joy and keeps us in happiness and keeps us partying like a big dog. That you can either have a perception, you know what I'm saying? So this section I want to talk about today is awesome. It's called The Test of Truth. It's on page 296. I don't know how far I'll be able to get with this. It's a whole, you know, two or three pages. Whoa. And I probably won't. They don't really make any difference anyway. You know what I'm saying? All you need is one thought. You don't need to try to remember everything. If I could just remember one truth and use it consistently, it would be great. Wouldn't it be good if we could just do one thing that was the truth consistently all the time? So for my class, I'd like for you to underachieve. I want you to try to just remember one thing. Okay. Now, this section of Course in Miracles is talking about how you can test. This is the test of truth. This is how truth tests you. Okay, first it says, if you want to get in touch with the truth, the Course says the first thing you need to do is learn that you don't know. So if you want to know the answer, you have to recognize you don't know it. Okay, got that? Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power, but the power is of love. The power is of God. Knowledge is a power. You don't have power till you have knowledge. When you have knowledge, you have power. So the Course says, if you all want to get to knowledge, what you have to do is realize you don't know. You're not absolutely certain about anything. And you're certainly not absolutely certain about everything. So just admit that you don't know. Then it says, you who have tried to keep power for yourself have lost the power. So the Course says, the reason why it looks like you don't know your power is because you've lost your power. And the Course says, even though it looks like you're weak and you've lost your power, you still have your power, even though it looks like you've lost it. You still have your power, even though it seems like you've lost it. You still have your power. You still got the love. Even if you're afraid right now, you still have the love. Even if it's something you're worried about right now and you think you don't know what to do in that situation, you still have your power. You still have your power. But the problem is you have put so much between your power and your awareness of your power that you can't use it. You put so much between your power and you being aware of your power that you can't use. The Course is saying we put so many beliefs between our power and our awareness of our power that we can't use our power because of all the beliefs that we put between ourselves and our power. So what is it that, he says, what is it that you have put in your mind that keeps you from knowing your power? He says, everything you've taught yourself. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? He says, everything you've taught yourself is what keeps you from knowing how powerful you are. And it's making your power more and more hidden to you. The reason why my power is hidden to me is because of the stuff I'm telling myself all the time. The stuff I'm telling myself all the time is hiding my power from me. Y'all with me still? Okay, then he says, you don't know what your power is, and you don't know where your power is. My ego gets so insulted. My ego wants to go, I do know my power. What are you talking about? I know what my power is. I do have knowledge. What do you mean I don't know? I have infinite knowledge. Anybody feel that part of them? When it says, you don't have enough. Yes, I do. You know, it's like, good. If I can say something to make you claim your power, you just been tricked into claiming your power. Wasn't that sneaky? Right? What you mean? I don't know anything. I do know something. See? Then I claim it. But when something says you are all powerful, you go, oh, I'm not really that powerful. You know, you are totally loving. Nah, I got some fear. You don't really know me. Right? Then when something says to you, you don't have any power. Yes, I do. I do have some power. See, we do our mind, this mind that we have in the world always does the opposite. This is the opposite mind. That's why the court says you got two of them in you. You got your mind is split. Your mind. I love that it says your mind is split. Get that picture. Your mind is split. Okay, it's split between the part that doesn't know and the part that does know. This book is talking to the part that doesn't know. It's telling the part of you that doesn't know to essentials that you learn you don't know. And that the reason why you don't know your wealth and your power and your prosperity and your joy and everything that would make your life infinitely happy all the time is the things you have taught yourself. The things that we taught ourselves, like we are bodies, page 296, like we are guilty, like we are sinful, like we are bad, like we are bodies. The Course says all those things that we've taught ourselves, that we are different, that we're not the same, that we're in competition, that we have depression. The Course says all those things we've taught ourselves, they hide our power from us, and they hide the love from us. And so it says we made a semblance of power. Right here it says you made a semblance of power, which is a show of strength so pitiful that it fails you. So the Course says to me, you know what, Earl? The power that is failing you and the knowledge that is failing you and the answers that are failing you are the ones you made up. That's so obvious, I don't know why I haven't seen it all my life. How could a plan that I have that comes from the infinite creator fail? The only thing that could have ever failed in my whole life had to be some plan I came up with without my creator. That's the only thing that can fail. That's the only relationship that failed. That's the only prosperity situation that failed. That's the only anything that's failed is what I tried to do without love. Anything that I try to do without real love is going to fail. That's why all our plans don't work. We make up these great intellectual plans, but we don't pump those plans full of love, and we don't let love come through us. So we make the plan more important than the content. Right? You know, the average person, they're busy planning, but they're not going, and when I go out here and try to be the best bank president that's ever been, I'm going to be the most loving bank president that's ever been. People don't say that. They just want to be the bank president. Deep. So when you leave out love, you leave out your power. Because your love can accomplish more than your mind ever will through figuring things out. I could just love you so much, and you could just love me so much, we just never would do each other wrong. That's a novel idea, isn't it? I wonder why it hasn't been thought of. I'm trying to make all these bastard agreements to get you to treat me the way you would if we loved each other. So the only people making the agreements are the ones that don't love each other. They wouldn't stay in a relationship with each other because they don't love each other. So they got to make all these agreements to stay together because they don't love each other. The fact that y'all can hear me say this means that you are on another level of consciousness. That you are on a very high level of consciousness. I'm telling you now, the stuff I'm saying right now, I could say it to another group of people, and they would have been all up in arms. What you mean don't keep those agreements? You know, but you gotta have them rules. You know what I'm talking about? You gotta make sure it's right, man. Right? Right? Don't be looking at me like I'm saying something crazy. Y'all know we do this stuff. Come on now, let's get real with each other. Now, don't just not get too holy in here. Y'all know good and doggone well. Y'all got stuff y'all want people to do the way you want them to do it. We all do. And the Course is saying, that's why everything is failing. And I'm going, oh no. You mean it's a choice between my plan that doesn't work and my happiness? Let me see if I can figure out which one of them I want. Most people choose their plan that doesn't work because they'd rather be right than they'd rather be happy. Isn't it great? This is one paragraph. I haven't gotten through it yet. Do you believe that? It's one paragraph. Do you believe it? That's what I love about this book. It's so full of meat. or tofu, depending on your sensibilities. Don't wanna make no, I'm from Memphis, the home of the barbecue. I'm sorry, I'm still trying to get with it up here. You know what I'm saying? So I eat anything, actually. That's right. Tofu too. I'll eat it too. Because I just decided to like it. That's a decision I made about food. I just decided to like it. It's one thing I haven't decided to like, but most of it I have.
What's the one thing?
Lamb. Something about lamb. Lamb, I know I was a cannibal in the last life, and it tastes like somebody's thigh. So when I eat lamb, I always get my cannibal flashbacks. So I'm working on it. It's one of my issues. So. I was trying to be. I know I was a cannibal. I got several girlfriends still missing. Well, wasn't that good? I'm going to deny I said any of this. I will never admit that I said one thing I've said today. I'm channeling. Anybody that knows Earl knows the person sitting in this chair is an Earl. Isn't that right, Greg?
Yes, Rush.
That's right. Okay. So, let me see if I can go deep. So he says, I love this. He says, for power is not a seeming strength. Power is not a strength that you seem to have. Truth is beyond semblance of any kind. So there is not you can't have a little semblance of the truth. You either got the truth or you don't have the truth, but you can't have a little semblance of the truth. And he says, all that stands between you and the power of God in you. And this is a great sentence. I'm going to say this here until we hear it. The only thing that's standing between you and the power of God inside you is this. The only thing that's standing between you and the power you have inside you is this. You ready? Your learning of the false. You've learned something that is false, and that's what's standing between you and the answer that you're looking for. It's something false you have learned. That's the only thing that's standing between me and my power is something false. So then the course has an incredible definition of the false. The false is nothing but our attempts to undo the true. The course says we're constantly, don't even realize, but we're constantly trying to undo everything that's true. And that in doing that, we're learning something false. And that's why we don't know our power. Check it out. Okay, let me give you an example. Here's a great example. If I tell you, if you're totally and completely 100% through and through, totally without guilt or sin, you have no sin, you have no guilt, you have no fear, you have no depression, you have no guilt. You have no fear, none whatsoever. What do you feel? Do you feel it's true? Be honest now. Be spiritual. Be honest. Do you feel that way?
No.
Who will raise their hand and admit that they don't completely feel that way about everything? All right. Okay. That is our attempt to undo the true. It's all the false things that you're telling yourself, right, that keeps you from accepting the fact that you're totally innocent, which is just what I said. So all those thoughts that came up in our minds that said, well, you know, you weren't with me on prom night. So there's a little guilt there, right? The part of us that say, well, you don't know that day I went off and I smacked my mother. I lost my temper and smacked my mother. You know, maybe that's your most shameful guilt. You smack your mother or something. See, the court says, you know, you still got those guilts, and those guilts are buried and those guilts are hidden in your mind. So when someone tells you that you're totally innocent, What it does is that it reveals to you all the thoughts that you have to the contrary, and all of a sudden you see your own attempt to undo the truth, which is the fact that you're innocent. It's your own attempt to make you guilty that's making you feel bad. You're the one that's trying to convince me that you're guilty and not innocent. I said you were innocent. Now you want to give me all the reasons why you couldn't be innocent, and you give yourself all the reasons why you couldn't be innocent, and that's undoing the truth, which is the fact that you're innocent. That's the truth. And if you're innocent, you don't deserve to suffer. If you're innocent, you don't deserve punishment. If you're innocent, you deserve to be able to pay your bills. So all of a sudden, all of our thoughts to the contrary got exposed. Isn't that great? Now you know that any lack that you are experiencing is coming from thoughts in your own mind and not somebody else's, because you just saw them. You just saw your own thoughts to the contrary. You felt them. And so it's those thoughts that create the lack in your life. So all of a sudden you expose the thoughts in your own mind that bring lack in your life. And that's all the thoughts that you come up with that tell you that what I said about you being completely innocent isn't true. So if anybody can basically say back to me what I said. You don't have to say the exact words I said in it, of course. But to see if you're getting it, sometimes it's good to pull it back out yourself. There's no test. We're not going to attack you or anything like that.
Well, power is not a seeming truth. Okay. We make up false thoughts and ideas through which we interpret stuff. And that's our attempt to undo the truth.
And what does it do to our power?
Diminishes.
Right. So what is it that's standing between you and your power? My false thoughts. Got it? And what's the other thing? He says, no, what's standing between us and our power? He says, the learning of the false. So what is the learning of the false? The learning of the false is that we've learned to always feel guilty, to feel sad, to feel afraid, to feel like we need to sacrifice and not allow ourselves to be happy. This is what we've been taught. This is what we've been learning, that we're guilty and that we're sinful and that we're just bodies. This is the learning of the false. So every time you defend the idea that you're guilty, you're trying to undo the truth of your innocence.
And isn't it ironic that a lot of that teaching comes through traditional church environments?
Well, wherever there is fear, there's a need for a lot of limitation and a lot of form. So the more afraid a person is, the more rules they need to live by and the more control they need. So fearful people always enact many, many rules. And I'm grateful because all they do is encase themselves, and that kind of gets them out of my way. And then I can go ahead. You know what I'm saying? Two jealous people together is watching each other all the time are keeping two crazy people off the street. Right? So I'm thankful for the I'm thankful for the jail or prisoner relationships that people have as long as they don't know how to love. I think the world is set up I think this is the perfect world for people who don't know how to love and want to learn and need to learn how. I think this world couldn't be any better for that. Because everybody that's loving in the world, those beings who are really being loving in the world are never noticed by the people who fear and attack. The people who fear and attack and limit, they're not interested in people who are loving. You would no more attract a really fearful, angry person if you were really loving. You couldn't even draw, not because you're trying to be snooty. They simply would not be attracted to you. They wouldn't notice you. You wouldn't even get their attention. Because they need drama. And people who need drama, they run away from people who are peaceful like they're the plague. Just check your drama friends out and see if they'll have drama boyfriends and drama girlfriends and drama best friends. It's just all one big drama. Everybody just watch them. And then you come there and you be peaceful and watch them kind of like fade away. They just kind of move away. You know, I love it. I think this thing is set up so cool now that I'm beginning to see. When I was blind, I thought the world was all screwed up. And now that I can see that it's the ultimate opportunity for us to heal that we could possibly give ourselves. And then to be fortunate enough to start meeting other people who want to heal, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some people who want to heal beside me, who want some sense and some sanity. You know, I can always get a car. So I'm not spending no more time wasting my time on stuff that's already made that I can get any time I want because it's already been created. I mean, why would I spend 5 seconds thinking about manifesting a house? There's a zillion houses. It's just a matter of when do I want to go in one. But I don't want to go in that house with a lack conscience where I can't pay the bill. I don't want to go in a relationship with me and my partner arguing all the time because we're both insecure. You know what I'm saying? We can all have that stuff, but why have it and don't have no peace on the inside? There's no sense. All you're going to do is repeat. I'm going to do is repeat what I've done with everybody else I've ever been with before. I don't want to do that. Anybody else at the end of that rope? Okay, if you're at the end of your rope, here you go. We got anybody? All people at the end of that rope, here's your instructions. Do what? Let go. And when you let go, you're going to fall 2 inches.
Run the other way.
You know? Yeah, don't forget, run the other way. Somebody you attracted to, run the other way. Don't forget the rules. Don't forget our rules. You know your track record with the people you've been attracted to, right? Y'all know your track record. Let's get honest with it, right? So what does that mean? You were trusting your what? Attraction, wasn't you? Mm-hmm. So the next time you have an attraction, what you gonna do? Run the other way. See, it takes so much sanity to do that because your mind's going to tell you again, say, oh, I'm feeling all this deep feeling. This has got to be the one. But remember, that's what you told yourself the other times. That's the same thing you told yourself the other times. So what you want to do, if you do feel that attraction, then you still just can't help yourself and you still, you know, you're gonna have to go, you know, you're just going to give yourself that experience. This is what you do. All right. You ready? You with me?
Yeah.
All right. What you want to do is try the best your ability to have at least a 1 hour conversation with them before you go to bed. Can you do it? Can you do it? At least give yourself a chance to get some idea about their mind. Just for the fun of it. Because the mind is what you're going to end up having the relationship with, not their body. Because you know about the body. You know, I don't care how good the body is in the beginning, you have to move on sooner or later. You know that. Everybody in here know that. So you're going to end up with that mind after you maybe lost interest with the body. So now you're not interested in the body like you used to be, and you found you were a psycho. But the loving was so good, you hadn't been paying no attention. The day was crazy because all that passion was in there. Y'all know what? Let's get real. We know what we're talking about, right? That passion has you just be deaf. You don't hear nothing. Everybody's saying stuff like, I'll kill you if you go out with somebody else. I'll kill you if you do this to somebody else. Hey, baby, yes, yes, whatever you do. You love me, don't you? I know you love me if you want to kill me. And when you find yourself saying that kind of stuff, you've gone over the edge. You're going over the edge. Is that y'all with me on that?
Yeah.
Because I pray that I have people to come to my class that are, you know, like you, adults, that we can just talk real. I get so tired of going to class and people don't talk real. You know what I mean? Y'all know what I mean. Like how we talking right now. That's real. But it's dangerous. Because this kind of communication that either draws people to you or creates a horrible reputation. That girl Perry over there talking about rattling with passion. What that boy talking about over there at that course class? Then some people say, I'll never go to his class. But think about how cool the people would be who show up.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Woo! I love scaring off the people that don't like me. And you'll never scare off the people that don't like you unless you're being yourself. Because if you're not being yourself, you're compromising to make them feel comfortable. So they're not really responding to you. They're responding to a reflection of themselves. Because you're just kind of like trying to cool them out, right? But if you're really yourself, whatever that is, and they get repulsed, man, you've been saved so much time, you ought to thank God every night. But you'll never get that gift as long as you're not being yourself. So you have to be yourself to repel people. Repulse them. That's kind of funny. You have to be yourself to repulse people. And that's a good thing. Because the ones who stick around, they are going to be like totally thrilled about what you are expressing. It'll be exactly what they want. It's like the more you be you, the more they enjoying themselves. That's what happens when you're around people who, when you're really being yourself and they're attracted to you. They just want you to be more yourself. But the people who are not the right ones for you, they're going to always be trying to change you. And they're going to be trying to tell you what's wrong with you and what you need to, how you need to grow up. Yes, I can be like you. Like, oh, you're my shining example of joy, huh? Boy, I'm so glad I'm waking up. I was so stupid when I was asleep. I used to think things were complicated. Didn't you? We made it so complicated, so simple. It's so simple. Thank God for the simplicity. Thank you, God.
You don't have to say, you know, whatever. You can just be yourself in the world.
Yes. And you have to take that the right way or you get more insecure.
This ain't working.
You can.
I can?
Oh, absolutely. That can save even more time.
I have friends that, would not say that what I believed because I'd be afraid that they'd be like, and they're like, whoa. You know, like,
yeah.
Whenever I test the waters.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, if you're expressing what you really feel and who you really are, and they respond that way, they're totally innocent. But at the same time, there was nothing wrong with you expressing yourself.
So
it's like, and if you just keep on being yourself, then that light that you are will attract people that are attuned to your light. But they can't come to you if they don't see your light. You know, that's what you have to do. You have to shine now. You got to shine so that the people that's in tune with your light can see your light. We're scared to shine. Okay. So let's go a little bit further, all right? Anybody have a question about paragraph one? Paragraph two is just as awesome. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, is this cool? What are we talking about? Is this cool today? I know it can get intense with the question. Is that cool? All right, good. Great. All right. Now, you know, if I had some hair, it would be just that color. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sagittarius, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. I love it. I know my sign.
Would you wear her shoes?
Absolutely. I put her shoes on right now. They fit. I'm totally secure in my masculinity, honey. I walk down the street in high heels. You know what I'm saying? There you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's another brother secure in heels. You don't know how many times I've reached out to hug a man and watch him go into sheer terror right before my eyes. You know? It's a very deep thing to watch, especially in a spiritual truth class. It, like, trips me out. You know, it's like, we come in here to learn how to love each other. Don't you trick me. So that just means what? You discovered the thought inside of you that was trying to undo the truth in you that you want to be loved. I want you to love me. I want to love. See, and then we wonder why people love us enough to stay away. Because they don't want to make us more afraid. And so we call it being lonely, but we don't realize that we're afraid of relationships. So if a relationship came, it just scares us more than we already are. And that's why they don't come. The universe doesn't want to make you more afraid. Once I found that out, I had to change my mind. Okay, so how do we deal with letting go of this stuff that's blocking us from our power? He says, well, be willing then for all of it to be undone. And so how do you let all of this stuff that's blocking you from your good be undone? He says, well, be glad that you are not bound to it forever. So I'm glad that I am not going to be limited to my old ideas about myself forever. I am glad that I am not going to be limited to my old ideas about myself forever. He says, be glad. He says, because you taught yourself how to imprison the child of God, a lesson so unthinkable that only the insane in deepest sleep could even dream of it. So the Course is telling us that we have taught ourselves how to imprison ourselves, and to teach yourself how to limit yourself, you can only do that when you are totally asleep. So the Course is telling us that we're not guilty, we're just sleeping. Now, it says, could God learn how not to be God? And can you, given all power by God, learn to be powerless? Can you really be without power if you have been created by the all-powerful? Well, what have you taught yourself that you can possibly prefer to keep in place of what you have and what you are? What is it that you've taught yourself that you could possibly want to keep in place of what I just told you about your power and your innocence? Would you please tell me? What is it about yourself? What is it that you believe that you could possibly want to keep more than the ideas that Course has given us about how powerful and how innocent and how free we are? got a question. What is it that we want so bad that we won't accept the loving thoughts we're being told about ourselves? Anybody got any suggestions?
To be right.
To be right again, right?
The thrill of whipping ourselves.
The absolute total thrill of whipping our own butt. We love that. This is one of our favorite pastimes. And when we get tired, we get a relationship to get somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
that's not the only way to use relationships. We're going to use them to bring us joy. Don't get me wrong. We're going to use them to bring us some cool stuff. But before we can get them to bring us the cool stuff, the Course says you need to understand how you're making them bring you the uncool stuff. And that's the part that most of us don't want to look at. We don't want to look at what we are doing to ourselves.
We're too comfortable with what we already know.
Right. But not happy.
I think we know, even if it is ignorance.
Thank you.
Ultimately.
Okay,
you know,
all right, okay.
The false thought is ignorance, really.
Right, the false thought is ignorance, and you're saying that we'd rather keep the ignorance than...
Yeah,
because
we're comfortable.
Because we're comfortable. We know our way around ignorant people, don't we? We know how to be ignorant sometimes, too, don't we? But I love these answers. There are no wrong answers, so please don't hesitate to share your thought. There are no wrong answers. I'm not going to, like, go, you, that was wrong. Okay. Because I'm curious to see what these thoughts bring up in your mind. To me, that's one of the most fascinating parts of the Course, as long as we don't get carried away with analyzing it. It's interesting to see what comes up. Like he says, atonement, which is the correction of error, that's what atonement means. The correction of error teaches you how to escape forever from everything that you taught yourself in the past. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Okay, so really... What we're learning how to escape from everything that we've taught ourselves in the past. We're learning how to escape from everything that we've taught ourselves in the past that bring us fear. We're learning how to escape from everything that we taught ourselves in the past that limit us. We're trying to learn how to escape from everything we've taught ourselves that limits us. And now it's going to tell us how to do it. We all help me remember how to do it, because it's getting ready to tell me how to escape everything that I've ever taught myself in the past that hurts me. Can we help each other? Okay, this is how by showing you what you are now, it allows you to escape from everything that you taught yourself in the past. If I keep telling you who you are now, it will allow you to let go of everything you taught yourself in the past that's hurting you. If we keep reminding each other of the power and the strength and the love that and the spirit that we are now, the Course says that's how you let go of everything that you're using to depress yourself or limit yourself. It's by me constantly reminding you, you know what? You are innocent. You know what? You are powerful. You know what? You really love. You know what? You're invulnerable. You know what? You are all powerful. You know what? You know what? You are innocent. I need to keep reminding you of that right now, and it will allow you to let go of all the negative beliefs that you learned about yourself in the past. It's hard to do if all you hang out with is people you can't stand. There is a very practical reason why you want to be around people that you love or that you like. When you're around people that you appreciate, it's really easy to be loving with them. It's real easy to tell them the truth that the Course is talking about. But what we're being told is only difficult when you think you're being told to say that to somebody you really don't want to say it to. So how do we let go of what we've learned in the past?
By seeing who we are right now.
Say that again, bro. Say that again, please. I just want to hear somebody say the truth to me.
By seeing who you are right now.
And who am I right now?
You're love. You're beautiful. You're a child of the Creator. You're every man. You're a poet. You're a jazz musician, you're a spiritual person, you're innocent, you're innocent.
Okay, how in the world could I keep believing the fearful, insecure things that I taught myself about myself if I had somebody looking at me in the face like you're doing and saying that to me constantly, reminding me? It's no way I could keep my old idea of myself. So we think the way to get rid of our old patterns is to go back in the past and bring them up and analyze them to death. And the Course is saying, that's the long way. Why don't you bypass that whole process by telling each other who you are right now? That'll undo all the negative stuff that you're trying to get undone.
So you focus on the remote, not the glass.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. He says, learning has been accomplished before its effects are manifest. So before you see the effects of what you've learned manifest, you have to learn it. So that means everything that is manifested is something we've already learned. So that means everything we see is just something we've already learned. I've already learned remote control is manifested. I've already learned eyeglasses, so eyeglasses are now manifested. I've already learned book, and so book is now manifested. So in order to have something manifest, you always learn it, and you learn it before it is manifested. So that means that all of your learning is in the past. And you're letting your past learnings influence determine your present. You're letting the influence of what you learned in the past determine your right now by giving your right now whatever meaning it has for you. So whatever this moment has for you is being determined by what you learned in the past. Whatever your life, whatever meaning your life is having for you right now is being determined by what you learned in the past. So your learning gives the present no meaning at all. Because nothing you have ever learned can help you understand the present. Nothing you've ever learned can teach you how to undo the past. Your past is what you have taught yourself. Let it all go. Don't attempt to understand any event or anything or anyone in the light of your past learning. For the darkness, which is the past in which you try to see, can only obscure. Put no confidence at all in the past to illuminate your understanding. Because if you do, you contradict right now the love, the light. And so therefore you think you see the past. Yet the past cannot be seen. For the past is nothing more than a condition in which seeing becomes impossible. Then my mind goes, well, what the hell did he just say? Okay. Who knows what I just said?
The past is nothing more than a condition which makes seeing the present impossible.
And because what I'm doing is letting my past determine what I'm seeing right now, and in letting my past determine what I'm seeing right now, I'm not aware of the present. And so the Course is telling us that the way to get in touch with our power is to understand that no matter what happened before this moment, it's not happening this moment. So this moment is where your power is located to change everything from this point forward. Your power is today, and your power is in you, and your power is in you right now. So what do I need? Well, I need to make sure that there are people in my life and that I'm around people who will help me remember who I really am so that I can start to let go of that old past learning about myself, because I let my past images about myself determine how I experience this present moment. And if my image about myself is that I'm insecure, or my image about myself is I'm not enough, then I'm going to bring that image of myself in this moment, and I'm going to let that image of myself determine how I experience the time I'm spending with you right now. So right now, instead of just enjoying being with you, I'm being with you while filtering it through the way I feel about myself, which is people don't really like me. See what I'm talking about? Like, I'm in a moment where it's totally neutral, that's totally innocent, but I'm in that moment where it's totally innocent, telling myself something to make me feel bad. So I'm really letting my past determine my present. And so I'm not really in touch with my power, because my power is in knowing that if I judge myself based on the way I used to feel about myself yesterday, I'll experience the way I felt about myself yesterday today. I need to know that. Earl, if you bring the old way you looked at yourself into this moment, if you bring your old attitudes into this moment, then you're going to recreate and re-experience that past moment, and you're not going to be in touch with the power you have right now to experience this moment without that upset and without that fear and without that insecurity. Because I brought the insecurity with me into this moment by interpreting this moment in terms of the way I used to feel about myself when I was a kid. This is the most incredible psychology book I've ever seen. So the truth is, if I've never met you before, that's what he's saying right here. He said, don't attempt to understand any event or anyone in the light of the past. In other words, boom, I just meet you, and I'm going to think I understand you because you remind me of the guy I used to work with. Right?
Right.
And the Course says, don't you see how totally delusional that is? That if you bring the past into this moment, then you won't get a chance to see who he is right now. But our ego tells us that's wise to bring your past into every moment because that's how you have wisdom. But that's very stupid. You know, if you really want to know who somebody is, you have to realize they're not anybody else you've ever met. Then you can get to know them. Then you do know what's going on. But if you try to judge them based on your past experience without ever getting to know them, then you don't even know who you're dealing with. Right? You're really dealing with somebody that's not even there. And so when the person does something different from what you expect, you freak out because you've just been interacting with your own past ideas. And you forgot there was a real person over there. And that real person might do something totally different from what you've made up in your mind that they should do. And then you feel betrayed. And the truth is you weren't betrayed. They just were themselves. I have to remind myself all the time, I do not know anybody in this room. 99% of the people that come to my class, we just hug and say hi and say bye. And I bet you they think they know me. I bet y'all think y'all know me. And I think I know you. You know what I'm saying? We do that. We'll think we actually know somebody without ever really communicating with them.
I know your heart.
Good. Good.
I don't know you.
Right. Right. And see, I want some people to know me.
Earl, how do you look at, like, a family member that way?
Like what way?
Well, like, instead of looking at someone that you have, you know, a really...
Oh, good question.
...past with.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is what's going to drive you bananas. Okay, can I drive you bananas? All right. There is no situation or circumstance that the truth doesn't apply to. So there is never an exception to the rule. So even if you go, well, how do you apply it to a family member? You apply it to a family member. How do I apply it to my family member? By realizing that the way I feel about this family member is the way I taught myself to feel about this family member. And I'm treating that family member the way I learned to believe about that family member. And that's really 90% of why I'm drawing the kind of reflection I am out of that family member. It's because I'm treating them like I think they are. And not realizing it's true for them too, that in every moment they get another opportunity to be reborn. So the scariest part, but here's the part that's so important. Don't try to practice this with a deep degree of it's got to work with a family member first. Remember, my advice is never go to the hardest person or situation first to try to do this. Or if you do, let go of your expectations that it has to work. You know what I mean? It's like if somebody mug you, that's the last person that you should be trying to practice forgiveness on. You get to the person that's mugged you when you've forgiven the person that stepped on your foot after you've done that. Can you just forgive a person for stepping on your foot accidentally? Start there. Don't try to start out with the person that beat you half to death. Because every time you go to the hardest, most extreme circumstance, it's just an excuse to quit. And that's all people try to give themselves when they're afraid. They give themselves an excuse to quit right at the very beginning by trying to practice the truth on the hardest person in their experience to practice it on. So they can go, you know what? This stuff don't really work. And then their ego goes back to being just the way it always was. Don't start with the hardest first. It's like a muscle. You have to exercise it. You have to work up to them.
Mm-hmm.
You're the last one. You get him after the person that beat you up. Really, because that's where all of it stems anyway. Mm-hmm. All of the problem stems from me not forgiving myself. And what does forgive, of course, it means? The Course says to forgive means to correctly perceive. That's all it means. All you were telling me was, you know, I need to correctly perceive myself first. Okay. So my job in your life is to help you perceive yourself correctly. That's why when I'm with you, I'm going to constantly remind you that you deserve to be happy, that you are a powerful being, that you are a loving being, that you have the Holy Spirit within you, that you got spirit between within you and in your heart. See, my role in your life is to help you remember the truth about yourself, because when you remember the truth about yourself, you let go of all your fears and insecurities. You just drop that, and then once you drop it, it'll fade out of your life. So I've really been your Savior, and you've been mine. Because I have a tendency to believe it more when it comes from somebody else than when it comes from me. You know, it meant more to hear him say to me that I was an innocent being than when I say to myself I'm an innocent being. It took on a whole other level when he said it. And that's the gift we can give each other. You can have somebody else looking at you in the face, telling you the beautiful truth about yourself, which will mean more to you than if you said it to yourself. And then that's how we get ourselves out of hell. But nobody wants to believe it's that easy. We want to make it so much more complicated than this. Because if we really heard this, all we would do would be to spend the hour and every, the rest of this day as much as we could trying to remind somebody about the innocence that they are. If we really wanted to get the easy way. And you watch your life transform right before your eyes doing these very simple things. Don't let your intellect get you to work a lot harder than you need to get the result. Because we, you know, us intellectuals, we love mental masturbation. So we love making everything really, really complex and really, really breaking it all down. And that's why our ego works, right? So we miss the very simple solutions because we're so brilliant. We're just so smart. We have such dynamic intellect. So we're using our intellect to limit us. Because I could just. You know what, Greg? You are a powerful being, brother. You're innocent, and you totally deserve to be happy, no matter what you've ever told yourself in the past. See how easy that was? See how easy that was? I didn't ask him about what happened when he was a little boy with that frog in the backyard that night. I was a cat, I'm sorry. And see, that's what you need. You need somebody to laugh at it. You don't need somebody to go, my God! So, I'm telling you, it's just so much easier now. I'm catching up with this stuff. So I'm going to stop here. No, you go ahead. Yeah, right.
Just a question I have. And maybe you've answered it with not trying to apply it to the hardest thing first. But, for example, as far as seeing someone and think you know them, I was bit by a dog. Before then, I loved dogs. Now I'm afraid of all dogs. One dog bites me, I'm afraid of all dogs. One car hits me and runs a red light at the intersection, I'm a little nervous at night driving through all intersections.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I, release that and get present?
By constantly reminding yourself that you're not in that past situation now. You literally have to remind yourself that this isn't that intersection that you had the accident with. You have to remind yourself this isn't the dog that bit me. Because since it's the truth, that's what I'm beginning to understand. Since it's the truth, you're no longer trying to heal it by yourself. So really the whole universe will help you to help you undo that belief. But it's a gradual process. And the reason why I see it's a gradual process is because that's so that you can gradually let yourself be open to the idea of being around a dog. You see what I'm saying? And it's great that you even notice the fact that you're making yourself feel afraid when you go through the intersection, because that means you are conscious of the fact that you are bringing the past into the present.
Exactly.
And so if you could tell yourself, I'm afraid right now because I'm bringing the past into the present. I like to say what's gone, because the Course says the past means gone or over. And those words to me mean more than saying past. If I go, this is gone. I'm bringing something that's gone into this moment. I'm bringing something that's over. See the difference? I'm bringing something that's over into this moment. I'm bringing something that's gone. Even still feel the fear. You might still feel the fear all the time. Remember that. While you're telling yourself the truth, you may not feel a sense of instant release, but you have healed yourself. You have done some healing on yourself. Never forget that. Don't judge your reaction. Don't judge your reaction. The fact that you remember to tell yourself the truth is the healing, not your reaction. The fact that you stay conscious enough to say, oh my God, I'm feeling what was over in this instant. If you could be conscious enough to say that while you went through an intersection, think about that. Oh, I'm feeling what was over as if it's right now. But you would have to be like really on it to be able to catch that feeling and own that feeling and then tell the truth about that feeling. Oh, this is I'm feeling something that's over as if it's happening right now, instead of saying I'm afraid.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for saying that, because the practicality of it is real important. It's so simple that I have to remember to do it. Because I want it more complicated than that. I want it more complicated than saying, when I go through the intersection, remind myself that I'm feeling afraid because something is over. I'm acting like it's happening right now. See, there's not a person in this room, I don't care if they was retarded, that couldn't do that. That's what's so deep about this book. Everything it asks you to do is something you can do today, right now.
Okay, but this intellectual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, two men of color.
Mm-hmm.
And Santayana told us, he who does not investigate the past is condemned to repeat it.
And I don't want to be a slave again.
Okay. So handle that one for me, brother.
You know what? That's what I'm saying. I have to remind myself of who I am right now. Who I am right now is a being that, first of all, there wasn't anything that happened to me in this life or another life that I didn't create for myself. So I've never been a victim of anybody in any lifetime. So it's really no such thing as me being a victim of slavery in reality. In reality. So it's only so that was how I got over my racism and my feeling of the oppression and all that stuff that I went through growing up African American was through higher consciousness teachings. Because when I got into metaphysics and higher consciousness and I learned that everything that happened to me was being created by my own consciousness and that I came here to learn certain lessons, and when you really forget who you are spiritually and you go to sleep and you go crazy and you think you're separate, you're capable of doing all kind of horrendous things. So all of a sudden I realized that no one had ever done it to me, I had done it to myself. And everybody else was me. So when I saw that, then it dropped all my racism and all my sense of oppression and all my sense of separation. But I had to really use that as a viewpoint and not as a philosophy. And that's the difference for me, was that the once that I told myself the truth, I realized it. And when I realized it, that's different from thinking it. I realized, wow, I am the white people. As a matter of fact, my higher guide told me I was the slave owner. And that's why I came back, black, to get a taste of the other side, to give me another balanced perspective of it, you know. And that most white people were black people or Indians or something. You know, it was payback time. So everything is really flipped. It's totally flipped. That's why when you hear most people who are minorities, all they say is that if they was on top, they'd do the same thing. That's the thing I hear. That they were on top, and then whatever. I'm gonna show who's the boss now. You know, I'm still not hearing equality, love, and oneness. Mm-hmm. Even you know, no matter which way it goes, and that's not gonna happen until you realize it's all you. Right. You see what I mean? You know, so that's how I deal with the whole racial cultural thing. And then remembered all the cool stuff and remembered all the loving stuff about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like when I think of my past and how I grew up and that whole African-American experience, I look at it in terms of what a delightful, unusual, unique way to come to the realization of who I am. I had experiences that I couldn't have had as any other race or any other sex. It was a very, very powerful and still is very interesting way to remember who I am. See? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I don't have to get caught up in it because I know I'm more than it. But then I can be proud of it because it's teaching me who I am. So that's a long answer to a short question. Yeah. You know, I know that's the truth. That's the truth. So, let me do the love offering right quick. Thank you for sharing, Holy Spirit. I really appreciate it in my full time.